For WMUK News, I'm Earlene McMichael. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been monitoring the activity of domestic hate groups for nearly half a century. The center has noticed a jump in bigotry since November's presidential election and more alt-right and white supremacist groups openly recruiting on campuses. I spoke with the center's outreach director, Leisha Brooks. She is the keynote speaker for the Kalamazoo Summit on Racism coming up on November 19th. How has hate groups changed since the civil rights days to now?
The first thing that came to my mind when you said, how have they changed? And I flashed on, you know, Charlottesville. And so let me just start there. That was that scene of racial intimidation was reminiscent of the Jim Crow era, you know, kind of what launched the civil rights movement. We hadn't seen a protest or gathering like that since the 50s. Probably the major change is that these group members are recruited or radicalized, as we say, online. So it's not necessary for them to join a group, join a Klan, or join a neo-Nazi group.
Are you feeling that some of these white supremacist groups are feeling a little more emboldened to be more public as opposed to being underground like the Klan used to be?
Sure. The Charlottesville group, right? I mean, they're not even covered. Their faces are shown. We have definitely noticed an emboldenment from people who have some affiliation or association with hate groups, and then those that just hold racist and bigoted thoughts. And this really began during the presidential election season, and then once Mr. Trump won, they just were kind of jubilant and felt like it was the end of what they call political correctness, and they could just, you know, vocalize whatever hateful thought that came to their mind. And this encroachment on in Charlottesville on the campus of UVA, we've seen it, you know, repeated in college campuses across the country. One of the things we're doing is monitoring the nonstop, what feels like nonstop flyering by white nationalist groups openly recruiting on college campuses.
There's been, 850 reports of bigoted harassment and intimidation immediately following the election?
That is correct. What we saw right after the election was this incredible uptick in the number of bias-related incidents that happened. We saw, you know, the swastika. We saw Trump campaign slogans being weaponized against folks, you know, hateful things like "Make America White Again." We decided to put up a web portal that asked people to report, you know, bias-related incidents that either had happened to them or they had witnessed. And as you said, within 10 days, we had close to 1,000, but still up, actually. But our last accounting runs November 9th through the end of March, and we have over 1,800 now.
And of those different instances of bigotry that you did document within the first 10 days after the election, there was a sizable number or a good group that took place at K-12 schools and some at universities. And these figures I'm looking at here was 183 at K-12 schools, another 140 at universities.
Yes. What we did, we looked at the data and tried to determine kind of what was the primary motivation behind this uptick in bias incidents, and really found that the number one thing was anti-immigrant sentiment, which, you know, kind of echoes or is a direct result of the rhetoric that went forth during the campaign. And then we also looked at kind of where these things happen. And as you said, K-12 schools came in number one. A project at the Southern Poverty Law Center called Teaching Tolerance that provides free anti-bias curriculum to educators across the country. We surveyed about 5,000 teachers, and they reported that things were pretty bad. And teachers really, you know, were at a loss as to kind of how to address it. For the first time, lots of teachers reported to us that they didn't want to teach anything about the election, and that's something typically that they look forward to. But they were running into issues with, you know, didn't want to speak out against parents who were Trump supporters, and just really kind of felt at a loss. Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center recommends that students engage or host an alternate event, that they don't you know, our first best strategy is that they don't attend the rally or the speaking engagement that's being hosted by white supremacists. The primary reason for this is that they depend on student protesters to bring media attention, to kind of create a spectacle, if you will. What we do is tell students, hold another event, get everyone to come to your event, bring the media and the student body to your event, and strongly protest what it is they're doing.
Leisha Brooks of the Southern Poverty Law Center speaks at the Kalamazoo Summit on Racism on November 19th. For more details, visit our webpage at wmuk.org. For WMUK News, I'm Arlene McMichael.